YC Founders. This is Oko.
And this is Lalita. We are trying to create the realest podcast about founders who have it together until they don't, and then how they get it together again.
You'll hear from us every other week, where we focus on honest and deep conversations with our friends about the messy pursuit of their happiness in the life of startup.
Each episode, we dive headfirst into curious and taboo topics on mental health, well-being, and personal growth, sharing our own stories and our friends' stories, including vulnerabilities and scars along the way.
Every one of us is on a transformational journey. We hope that our podcast can help you become your very own happy, messy self.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the new episode of Happy Messy Founders. Hi, Oko.
Hi. It's been a long time since we had a guest on our show. And today it is. We have a show. We have a guest. We have a show and a guest with us today. Usually we introduce our guests by reading their social media descriptions or profile lines. And I just looked up your Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it says CEO at e27.co. Mm-hmm.
That's it, isn't it?
Is that
There's
it?
Nothing else on there.
There's nothing else. We have
it
with
used
us
to be
Mohan
different,
Dalani.
I think I updated it recently. Yeah, I used to have a lot of other stuff. I think you used to have all the diving stuff and everything.
Well, that's great. So can you maybe give us the little longer version to our audience quickly, who you are, and then why did you cut it out? What was the thought process behind it?
So, okay, firstly, right, thank you so much for having me on the show. You know, it's always fun to have a conversation with friends, right? But on a more formal podcast level, because sometimes, you know, when we hang out together, we talk about very different things. And this time around, it feels like a completely unique experience. So I'm nervous, but also excited.
That's exactly where we want you to be.
Yes. Yeah. So I wanted my Twitter to get straight to the point where it was work-related, right? And I just wanted to put the work profile there because I was just experimenting with Twitter as a platform. I think about maybe a few months back, I started to clean up who I was following. I started to clean up the list that I had. So Twitter, I started to really transition it to be a proper platform for me to get insights and news and information. So that's why I completely cleaned it up. And then in terms of myself, so there's one part of me which is involved in startups. So the E27 side, I think that's the one that most people know. And there's the other side of me that is involved with outdoor activities. Used to be a lot of climbing in my younger days, but now it's more diving. There's something about just, you know, spending time away with friends, right? In a boat or an island with little connectivity. And there's the other side of me that I really enjoy, which is the army life, you know. And then the last side of me is family, right? So I try my best to spend as much quality time with my family as much as I can. And we recently started playing a lot of Rummy Sessions, which is a card game. So it's been a lot of fun.
Is that a reflection of what's happening to you right now also? Relooking at who you're following, relooking at what you are using tools at, relooking at who you want to be possibly associated with. And it seems like you are driven by curiosity about new things.
So I think that need to constantly do better, right, and think about what I'm doing is something that has been innate in me for the last few years. So every quarter, right, I do my own personal OKRs. Every week I'll reflect, usually on a Sunday night or a Monday morning. Now on Twitter, I started this daily reflection thing as an experiment. But it's that, for me, it's that need to go from every 13 weeks, I look back and I see whether did I spend it well? Did I focus on areas that I wanted to focus? And then areas that I did focus, did something good come out of it? And this actually stemmed from, I think it was 2015, where I felt like I didn't know what I had done in the last few years. You know, when I just thought back, and it's not like I didn't do anything. I didn't document it. I didn't think about it. I didn't actively think about what I was doing or what I was not doing. So I think that that process in some sense was tied to that.
How do you feel this very conscious habit that you've been practicing over the last few years, how do you feel it impacted this craziness that we've all been going through over the last like year, essentially?
So I think if we look at the pandemic related issue, right? Having a sense of day-to-day discipline really, really helps, right? For me, at least, right, I've actually formed that ritual where there is a sense of what do I do on a weekly basis? What do I do on a quarterly basis? And how do I put that into action with my day-to-day actions? So when the pandemic hit, when COVID hit and everything became a mess, interestingly, on a company level, right, for that particular quarter, I told everybody to just throw away the OKRs and just, you know, think fresh right from the start, because there was really no point anymore. But at least having that momentum, that daily, that quarterly ritual really helped put some sense of discipline. It had at least had some sanity in that entire madness. There was some level of sanity involved in that entire process. So even now when I'm really stressed out, right, I know that, okay, no matter what happens, on Sunday I will have the time out, the opportunity to look back and reflect, and then next week is a completely new week.
Now, I understand that creating certainty where you can helps you during this time. But at the same time, you're like, you just want to kick it loose sometimes, right?
Yep. So you're absolutely right in that sense. Like sometimes I do get sick and tired of that, committing to that 3 or 4 exercise sessions a week. And I think flexibility is key, right? Some weeks just don't go well. Like this week has been particularly shit for me, right? Because I haven't been sleeping well. I haven't been eating well. It's just been a bit of a mess. It is not because of anyone's fault per se. It's just one of those weeks. And that's where I think it's really okay to veer off the plan. And you can't kick yourself too hard, right? It's a marathon, right? It's okay to steer off course. It's okay to try different things. It's okay to not stick to the plan for a while. But you still need some kind of a general guiding principle. Like I give you a simple example, right? I was supposed to do more stress trainings this quarter. And on the 3rd or 4th week, when I went for one of it, I was like, oh, screw this shit. I just don't feel like doing it anymore. And I just cut it off. Right? I cut it off and I decided, I made a mental note, right, that said that at that point in time, I just wasn't interested in it. I'll probably reflect at the end of the quarter why that happened and ask myself, actually, do I genuinely want to do that? Or is it something I'm just not interested in? Same thing happens to me with reading. I was an avid reader for maybe a year. And this quarter, right, I could barely even finish one book. And I think partly it's just, I'm just sick of consuming content in that medium. That I think I'm going to reflect and understand, like, why is that the case? Maybe I should just change the kind of books I'm reading, or maybe just stop reading books for a while. So I think it's okay to change, right, in that sense. Don't have to stick to the plan.
Have you always been this kind to yourself?
I don't think so. But I started this thing as well where every week I would also grade how I was feeling and what was my achievement level. So if I felt like I was having a really good week, like I was feeling good, right? The feeling level could be high. So I could be feeling great, but maybe not achieving very much. And that's okay. Right. So I have my scores, right? Like sometimes I will be feeling amazing, but my achievement level will be really low, which means that maybe I just wasn't productive. Maybe I had nice experiences with friends or colleagues or family. And that's like, to me, that's totally fine, right? I'll put a note there and to explain to myself why that was the case. But I realized that it's true that it's sometimes you just have to look for the silver linings. Sometimes you just have to admit to yourself that, look, if stuff doesn't happen the way you want it to happen, it's okay. Just try another day, just take some time off, or maybe approach it in a different manner. And I'm still learning to do that better, right? I think a couple of weeks ago, I'm part of this other group called the Men Cave, where we support each other and men talk about their feelings, for example. And it was the same thing, right? I had this feeling like, oh, I've wasted a large chunk of my life on stuff that didn't matter, you know? And then you realize that everyone else has the same issue. Everyone else has the same problem. And then you realize it's just, that to me, it's just part and parcel of being human. And sometimes you don't have to be so hard on yourself. It's a constant work in progress.
Thank you for sharing that. You didn't do, you know, you were having a hard time this week. So we forgot to ask you one thing in the beginning of each session with the guests. Because we haven't had guests any, you know, for a while. How are you doing today? What color would you say you are?
Okay, so today, let's see. So today would have been a middle, right? If I had to give a score to myself today, I think it would have been a 6, right? Not the best day because, so ideally, like this week actually, right? So this week was my experimental week where I told myself on Sunday, last Sunday, that I'll try an experiment this week where I'll wake up earlier at about 7 with the goal of doing my own thing from 7 to 9 and then officially starting work from 9. Right. And I did manage to do that for a grand total of one time all of this week. Right. So you see my plan, like most of my plans actually don't end up working. Right. I'll probably reflect why on Sunday. But so I wanted to do that again this morning, but it didn't happen. So that kind of frustrated me because I ended up waking up late and everything went out of whack. But the other thing is also that there's just so much, like Fridays are really frustrating sometimes because there's just so much work that hasn't gotten done. And then you want to be able to enjoy the weekend. You want to let your team go off for the week. But it's also bugging you at the back of the head that there's just so much to do. So that was the challenging part for me today, right? I managed to squeeze in a 20-minute exercise session earlier, like after lunch, just so to like, you know, feel a bit better and not feel like, oh, it was a wasted day. But I still can't get off the fact that, yeah, it was not a great day.
I'm only laughing at the fact that every person we ask this never gives a conventional answer. We literally asked you, what color are you feeling? And your answer to us was 6.
6. I couldn't think of a color.
How is E27 doing 1 to 10 this year?
I give it a 7. Yeah. So it depends on how you measure, like, what's the benchmark, right? Are you talking about revenue? Are you talking about what, right? So the way I see it is this, like, this year is the year for organizations to either try all the shit they wanted to do in the past that they couldn't do, or double down and go hard on what is really working well for them. And in our case, it's the latter, right? Because a large part of what we do, which is the Echelon event and offline activities, are totally gone. I count myself lucky that we all had the foresight, right, in early, I think, Jan or Feb, yeah, late Jan, early Feb, around that period, right, we all had the foresight to say no to events completely and then push everything on the membership and online stuff. So in that sense, I think on a daily basis, right, the team is really doing everything they can to try new things, to push the whole product-centric thing, to evolve their mindset and thinking. And that's where I think from a score standpoint, right, yeah, we definitely rate highly on a 7. Now, a lot of it is still not working. You know, there's definitely more we can do to maybe push our campaigns out better or do a better job with talking to customers, right? I would have given it an 8 or 9, but maybe that dragged it down a bit. But so in that sense, I think we're doing well, can definitely do better. Yeah, so that's how I see it.
And it seems like you practice. So, you know, the word that comes to my mind is Nassim Taleb's anti-fragility, right? Mm. It is, as he says, it's the people who benefit from shocks. They thrive and grow when it's random and when it's disorder and stress and adventure. So when it's not predictable, that's when you actually grow. It sounds like you are that person, right?
Yeah. And yeah. So that is. So it's happened to me multiple times, right? And I mean, in startup life, that's normal, right? But multiple times this has happened, and I feel that every time it happens, it's a much better experience overall. And I'm just learning to manage that whole experience to figure out how best to not burn my team out over too much, not burn my... It's not a sustainable thing, though, right? It has a huge toll on your physical and mental self. It affects your sleep. It affects your relationship with other people to a certain extent. But I'm learning how to manage it better, to channel the energy in a better way, and to also not overly impose that excitement onto other people, because people take things differently. Not everyone deals with uncertainty the same way, and you have to just learn to recognize and respect that. So you have to find a way to manage how they feel to it, assure some people a bit more, excite some people a bit more. It's a fine balance. I'm still learning how to do it better.
How have you been building those boundaries and then like respecting them for yourself as you've grown as a CEO, as you've grown as a founder? Were they always boundaries that you had, and were they always boundaries you kept, you know, between those charging days and then those re-energizing days? Or is this something you've learned to start doing better now?
Yeah. So I think in the earlier days, there were definitely less boundaries, because I couldn't see the value of those boundaries in the first place, right? And to be fair, right, in the earlier days, the way your body, your mind, and your soul reacts to things, right, is different from how it is now. Like, simple example, right, if you just go for a run now suddenly without properly warming up, you suffer the negative effects the next day, very obviously. And it's very different from how it was 10 years ago, right? So you have to impose those limits, right? So that's what I do, right? I will impose certain limits on myself where I know working past maybe 8 o'clock might seem like a good idea because there's a lot that needs to be done. But I know now through experience that I won't output my best quality of work, right? So there's actually no point in doing that. And the same thing with the weekend, right? I think life needs some sort of a balance between like friends, family, work, you know, and your own personal time. And consciously realizing that and putting in like activities to seek that balance, for me now, that's really important. Like 5-10 years ago, right, if I could exercise, then I'll consider that a bonus. Today, I schedule exercise in my life because I know it's important, right? And I think that's the big change that I realized. I learned to schedule activities around work that I know will indirectly benefit my working life.
To the stubborn or, you know, really hard-headed founder or person listening in, what advice would you give them if they came to you and they'd be like, oh no, Mohan, I'm very busy. I don't have time to do this like you do. You have a very flexible work schedule, you know, to schedule whatever you want to, when you want to. What would you tell them, knowing all that you know now?
You know, I've learned to realize that people need to discover things on their own. I think you can share with people, you can tell them what to do or what not to do. But the willingness to change and evolve or try new things has to come from within, right? So if they're genuinely stubborn and all that, right, I would share with them to why not just try it out and see what the benefit is. And if it doesn't work for you, then totally great, right? Like some people to today, I mean, if you look at Jack Dorsey, right? I mean, he has a ridiculous, relentless schedule, right? And can I say that that's not a good thing? No, it works really, really well for him. I think it's really important to find what works well for yourself. Like intermittent fasting works really well for some people, and for a lot of others, it does not. Right? The same thing could be said about work habits or family habits or relationships. Right? So I would share, I would like, maybe through this podcast, I would share with people that these are the things I do. They work well for me. And if they could make a positive impact in your life, great. And if they don't, then that's totally fine. Because the same thing happens to me, right? When I learn from other people, like a lot of my stuff is not from my own creation, right? I learn it from everyone else, and a lot of things don't work. Like this whole wake up early in the morning to have personal time thing just doesn't work for me, right? I'm definitely more of a night person. I just cannot wake up at 7.
Hey, this is Lal from Outside the Episode. Are you enjoying it so far? We hope you are. We've paused the recording for a second to ask you a tiny favor. It would mean the world to us if you'd be up for giving us a rating and a review on iTunes. It really does help, and it makes a huge difference. So thank you in advance. And now, back to the episode.
You really have to get the buy-in for people. Like the five dysfunctional team, right? You have to find a way to allow them to conflict with your ideas. And you have to trust them that it's coming from the right place, right? And if you have a team that looks at you and doesn't believe in the idea or what you're doing, it's okay. Like, do that over time, right? Like, either show them through action. Like, for me, I either will show them through action or show them through constant conversation and hope that they come around. Like, sometimes people will not. Some people will end up leaving. Some people will not believe in it. And that's okay, right? I think that's totally, totally fine. We have to learn to respect that. Sometimes people just will not be able to see it.
What's
and the best thing
hardest...
you can do is wish them best to, so that they can do whatever they believe that truly works.
I'm wondering, how do you sort of transfer what you talk to us about the resiliency that you built in your own life and in your own management, in yourself? How do you transfer that to your team, especially in this time?
See, at the end of the day, I did ask people in the company also, right? I was like, well, I mean, why are you still here, right? If you're still here just because the job gives you money and you know it's a pandemic and everyone's losing their jobs, right? Then there's no point, right? Like, we have a golden opportunity to truly transform the company and try all the new shit in the world, right? And I jokingly used to tell people that, like, this is the best time to fail because no one can fault you for it. So what do you have to lose? Right? Unless you tell me you're not interested, then that's a totally different thing. If you're genuinely not interested, then I can't help you, right? But this is basically the time. If you're genuinely not interested, I can't help you. But this is the time to basically try every damn thing that we have had, that we've talked about trying. So to me, from that standpoint, right, it's like the most exciting period. Like, whatever crazy idea you had that I said no to 6 months ago, let's try it now. Right? It's a team effort. At the end of the day, right, if I came in and I gave 100%, I thought I was the big champion and I was going at my own blazing pace without actually looking back to make sure we were all together, right? I'm wasting my energy and effort. I would be way better off toning it down by maybe 40%, right? And then helping, like, using that other energy to help my team get up to speed. And then at the end of the day, we are one team, right? So it's all about us running together as fast as we can, right? Without, like, people tripping over, right? So I think it's a balance. I can't let them slow me down too much as well. But I have to always be mindful that, look, everyone is trying their best. And I 100% trust my team that whenever everyone comes to work, right, they give their 100%, they try their best, they genuinely want to succeed.
How do you, how do you create this resiliency? And what is this resiliency? Or what is the secret to anti-fragility, right? And I think you just said it, which is this balance. There are times to push. There are times to pull. And being okay being in the middle and seeing where you went too far and pulling the other way. Seems like this is something you practice in your own rituals and practices. And that's exactly what you practice with your company too.
Yeah, I think you put it in a good way. That balance.
One thing, going back to our personal resiliency building rituals. Do you feel like sometimes you just want to go 3-4 months of the complete opposite direction sometimes?
I'm probably planning to do that someday, right? Like, completely take time off, maybe to travel or to do whatever, right? Like, it's always been my thing to, like, go to Philippines for like 4 months and just backpack all around, right? I think it's a beautiful country, beautiful people, right? But I also know that there's a lot I would like to do here with the company and all that I don't want to give up on right now, right? So I think there will be a time for that. And I think I need to schedule that time as opposed to hope or wait for it to happen. So that's the one thing that I learned in 2015, right? If whatever you want to do, find a way to schedule it in your life, because it's very easy to just for it to just slip by, and then you look back and you're like, oh, I never had a chance to do it and all that.
Even when we met, like in those early times, there was definitely a bigger drive and a higher importance place to like work and, you know, where you were showing up and the hours you put into that as opposed to the hours you were putting in for you. And it's so refreshing and wonderful to see that like you're just taking better care of yourself as a human, and then everything else is falling into place in a smoother way because you have started to take better care of yourself. You started to take more accountability for just you, for like what the rest of your life is going to be like, right? Right before the pandemic hit, you did take like a really nice time off with your parents and you took them away. And your whole thing right before that was that we would always have a conversation and you'd be like, I have too many points on my Singapore Airlines miles.
I have a lot more now.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with it. Maybe I should sell it. Maybe I should, you know, make a profit on, you know, these points that I could very well use for myself.
Yeah.
But it's very nice to see that you took advantage of that and you started to have fun with your life.
Yeah. No, I think so. The setting time aside for family thing is you hit an age in your life where you know right that your parents are gonna die soon, like you can count, right? And as morbid as that sounds, like it's a ticking clock, and I sometimes tell myself it's sometimes good to put a count down. So if you then realize that everything is limited, then how can you maximize the experience? So that trip with my parents was like the best thing that has happened to me in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. I agree 1,000%. The best thing that this pandemic has done is given me extra dinners and lunches and time with my family that I would have never had. A few years ago, I did come across an article. I feel like we've had this conversation though, where this guy essentially counted down if you were to live an average life till you were 80, this is how many dinners, lunches, family vacations, whatever you would have with your parents. And when you read that article, it becomes so apparent how short time is, and every, you know, thought that you had, like, I have all the time in the world to do this, you stop postponing it because you realize how finite that timeline is. And agreeing with you in that, the one thing this pandemic has done is given time that you wouldn't have taken yourself to do the things that you should be doing.
100%. Like every dinner now feels like something to be cherished.
Yeah.
You know, like the card sessions I play with my parents, we don't play every night, maybe 2-3 times a week. It's like super fun, right? Like, because on one hand, you're engaging them, and then on the other hand, you're doing trash talk, and then occasionally you're winning some money from them. But the one thing I generally enjoyed through all these engagement with parents is understanding their life.
Yeah.
Or asking them about their lives, what they were thinking when they were younger, or what they were doing. You know, my dad shared with me that he actually had a pet monkey when he was younger. And I'm like, all right. So like, you know, little things like that, okay, I would never have been able to experience. And just understanding how he lived his life was very enriching and invigorating for me. So the trip really helped with that. The pandemic has really helped with that. And so I think it's important that we all look for the silver linings.
We need to propose one resource. It could be a book, it could be a website, it could be something that people can use to maybe today's topic is, you know, since we are talking about resiliency, you know, something that people can refer to build more resiliency in their lives.
You know, have you heard of this thing called inner engineering?
No, tell us about it.
It's this philosophical, Google it. It's a philosophical teacher. His name is Sadhguru. And he talks specifically about how to re-engineer. Fundamentally, it's about re-engineering your inner self so that you can become the best you, right? Basically, his point is that most of the world's problems and most of people's problems due to bad, you know, in engineering, like learning to meditate, learning to take time off, positive thinking, all those kind of things. So I think that one is actually a really good one as well, in engineering. He's got a lot of videos, he's got books and all that, but I think the book, even as an online course, but I thought the book was actually particularly good.
That's awesome. Wow, what's yours?
Mine is an article on emotional fitness by Dr. Emily Anholt. It's on firstround.com, and we will share it on our Instagram and our website, and you can check it out there. But it covers a lot of the things that we spoke about during this topic, and even some of the things we've touched on other episodes, including like mindfulness and imposter syndrome. So it's a good summary article that helps you get started on understanding these topics in a more nuanced manner and where you can move on from it.
And then my book today it's an older book, but it goes hand in hand with Mindset by Carol Dweck. But this one is Grit by Angela Duckworth. They're good friends. And, you know, she really points out why grit is important and why this might be the secret key to success. And great stories in it, well-written book. If you're a parent, it's a good book because there's a section on how to use this and develop grit in your children and schools, etc. So there you go.
Angela Duckworth and Stephen Dubner from Freakonomics have a really fun podcast called No Stupid Questions. So if you don't want to start with the book, you can start with the podcast because they address a lot of the things that are part of the book.
All right. And Mohan, you have the last minute or two. Is there anything else that you wanted to share that we didn't ask you?
I think the one thing, if I had to share, right, is that I think deep down inside, right, everybody has their own struggles. Everybody has their own issues. And learning to realize that it is perfectly okay to have them yourself can be very enlightening for some people. Right? I think the more they connect with people, the more they talk to people, the more they realize that my struggles are not unique and actually I can get the support that can help me do better. Right, I struggle with all sorts of things all the time. I'm sure many other people do too, right? But it's okay. It's totally fine, right? Just learn to talk about it and learn to actively deal with it in your own unique way. And things will always get better.
That is such a beautiful note to end on. We really do hide a lot more from ourselves than we do from other people. So finding the right folks that you can talk to really helps you move forward from that. Thank you for sharing that, Mohan. That was really great. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're so excited to be back onto a weekly schedule. And thank you so much to Mohan for joining us and being a part of our comeback. I say our comeback. We literally tried bi-weekly for 2 weeks and then we were like, no. You can check out all the new episodes, all the resources, everything that Mohan shared on our website, which is happyfounders.com. Oko, is there anything you'd like to say before we stop recording? No. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Thank you again to Mohan. Thank you to everybody for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. We record every episode of Happy Messy Humans with the intention of it being like my emotional baggage tote bag. Yes, I have a tote bag and it says emotional baggage on it and I carry it everywhere proudly. So we hope that every episode is just like that. A little funny, but incredibly useful. You can find all the resources, all the tips, and everything that we talked about on our website, iamhappymessy.com. See you next week.